Welcome to the Michigan Opportunity, an economic development podcast featuring candid conversations with business leaders across Michigan. You'll hear firsthand accounts from Michigan business leaders and innovators about how the state is driving job growth and business investment, supporting a thriving entrepreneurial ecosystem, building vibrant communities, and helping to attract and retain one of the most diverse and significant workforces in the nation.
Hello, I'm your host, Ed Clementi, and today we're fortunate to have Lauren Snyder with us. She's the Vice President of Customer Experience for Consumers Energy. Welcome to the show, Lauren.
Hi, thanks so much for having me today.
Well, it's my pleasure, and I know that Consumers is such a big company that I don't even know what part of the state. Why don't you kind of tell us what Consumers does and what its sort of catch basin is?
Oh, sure. Okay. So Consumers Energy provides electricity and gas to residents in the Lower Peninsula. So we all are familiar with the mitten, right? When you put your hand up, your left hand up, and you see the state of Michigan. Imagine if you were looking on the left-hand side of that hand. That is where we predominantly serve electricity. We keep the lights on. I myself am in Grand Rapids, and Grand Rapids, Kent County, is the biggest service territory of electricity that we serve. And then as you move to the middle of the state, we have combination customers. So you would get both electricity and gas from us. And then as you move your way east, but not too far south, because that's DTE service territory, we serve gas customers. So we keep the heat going in the winter for the customers on the northeastern side of the state.
So was Consumers from the beginning always sort of in both types of energies, or is it something?
No, it's been this way for probably over 130 years. We've been in business for over 130 years. And that's the way that the Foot brothers, those were our founders, and the founders of DTE, that's how it all worked out. And so that's the way that we have operated ever since. And it works. As regulated utilities, we work very closely with DTE as well.
So where was the Foot brothers' footprint? Where did they start?
Jackson, Michigan.
And you grew up there, right?
My hometown of Jackson, Michigan. And that's where our headquarters remains.
Yeah, it's I've been there, and I know it's kind of hard to miss if you're in Jackson. It's pretty tall.
It's the old post office. They took the old post office that I remember going to as a kid to drop off mail. And that's the front entry area. And then we built 12 floors. So it's a beautiful glass building in the heart of downtown Jackson.
And this is going off target already, but your maiden name's Young Doll, right?
It is, yes.
So your family worked there too, like at the energy company as well?
Oh, yeah. My roots run deep at Consumers Energy. So my great-grandfather worked for the company. My grandfather worked for the company. He was one of the top executives and retired in 1983. And then I had an aunt on the other side of my family work for 40 years at the company. And my sister works currently at the company, as does my brother-in-law. So a lot of the Young Doll family, third generations. We skipped my parents. Neither one of my parents worked for the company.
Yeah, they didn't try to talk you into it. It was your grandparents that did.
It was my grandfather. Absolutely.
Yeah. So you're based in Grand Rapids, but you, as you said, that is the biggest sort of at least electrical footprint or gas footprint. I know you.
Electric.
And then gas is probably spread throughout all the other counties somehow.
Head towards east. That's exactly right. Yep.
And just so you know, one of my previous jobs, I was an engineer, and I used to have to contact Ms. Digg all the time.
Yeah,
that's like a secret service that if you don't know where pipes are or conduits, it's pretty important to know where all that is, actually.
Absolutely. From a safety standpoint, you bet.
And what do you do? Because I think that actually ties into one of the things, one of your many hats, I'm sure there.
Yeah.
Economic development. Yeah.
Yes. So I'll tell you a little bit about my journey. I have been with the company for almost 20 years. I came right out of college. I graduated from Michigan State. And in fact, my grandfather was the one who talked me into it. I remember getting a call from Consumers Energy saying, you got the job. And I thought, oh, I was a little bit taken aback. Like, I got the job. Wait, does that mean I'm going to have to move back to my hometown? All my friends are going elsewhere, right? They're going to Chicago. They're going elsewhere. And my grandfather called me and he said, listen, this is a good company. You want to go on to grad school, which I eventually did. They're going to help prepare you for that. You know, there's so many great opportunities throughout the company. Go try your hat at it. And I did. And 20 years later, here I am. I've had a lot of different roles at the company, from field, being out in the field, from running our call center, from strategy, from regulatory affairs, a whole myriad of different roles that prepared me for the role that I'm in now, which is the vice president of customer experience. And customer truly is at the heart of all of the experiences that I've had here. So I am responsible for all of our customer programs. So think of electric vehicles. We have program offerings for those who have purchased or considering purchasing electric vehicles, energy efficiency, demand response. I also have responsibility for renewables, our renewables portfolio, as we move as an organization into more renewable resources such as solar and wind. My team is helping get customers enrolled in programs that support that ambition. I also have responsibility for our marketing and sales function. Yes, we have a sales function. It is unique for a utility. But if you think about what we're trying to do here, as we pursue our ambition to be net zero by 2040, we need customers to be a part of that journey with us. And so we work side by side with all of our business customers, from small businesses all the way up to big businesses, to help them step into a sustainable options. And many of them are actually like raising their hands to say, help us. So we get the opportunity to do that. Also within that portfolio is economic development, which I'm excited to talk more with you about here today. And then just recently, I assumed responsibility for all of our external communications, which I am really digging into and loving, and have a great appreciation for the work that the team there does there to help to ensure that we're communicating with customers, telling our story, and continuing to move forward. So that's what I do at Consumers Energy. I think if you're listening and you're not entirely familiar with how utilities work or the functions of, within a utility, if you took my role and you put it outside into a different company, it's very similar to a chief marketing officer type of role.
So, and that's how we actually connected through Katie Carey. I used to work with her back in my legislative days. And I would imagine, too, that, you know, marketing communications has only sort of exasperated, I guess, over the growth of like social media, too.
Oh, 100%. 100%. Heck, we didn't even have social media when I started at the company. It was brand new. You know, like it's a whole new world, right? And that's where, you know, really at Consumers Energy, we want to make sure that when we're, you know, communicating to our customers that we're going to the channels of their choice and how they want to receive information. And social media is just continuing to evolve. And we want to make sure that we are a part of those conversations. So.
Yeah. And I would even imagine the other sort of three things you mentioned are important for the talent search for Michigan. You're involved, obviously, with EVs, you know, electric vehicle platforms where that's some of the things, but I think also the sustainability and, you know, the renewable parts of what you do is very attractive, I think, to a lot of people demographically, you know, probably under 40, probably more. But I would imagine other people care throughout the stratus, you know, different socioeconomic groups. But that's probably grown a ton, too, since you've been in the position, I would guess.
Absolutely. I have to share with you another story about my grandfather. So he passed away 2 years ago, and we were very, very close. And every time we would talk about the company. And he would send me articles and clippings. And on the side, he'd write down notes of things to be paying attention to. And we'd always end a conversation with take care of our company. And I remember being very excited to tell him about the role that I was promoted into, the one that I'm in now. And he looked at me and he said, wait, what? Wait, what is this customer experience function? Like, what does this all mean? Digital and, you know, energy efficiency. You want them to use less of our product and you want to enroll them in solar and wind. Like, what is happening here? And, you know, it's a shift that we've made in recent years to have really big ambitions around net zero. And net zero means we want to be able to move away from coal. We are retiring our coal fleet as we speak and moving into options that are going to make sure that we're here for the next, you know, 130 years, leaving a better footprint for those who are going to come behind us. And so it is a really exciting time to be in the utility. I will also say, too, historically, and maybe even still today a little bit, customers don't really think of their utility unless there's a problem, right? Unless your power goes out, unless you've got perhaps a question about a bill, right? You don't necessarily think of us. But now, as we move into this new territory around clean and lean and green, we need customers, we need them to be a part of this journey. We can't be successful in the ambition of net zero without them. And so we have energy efficiency programs, we have EV programs. Now, I just have to tell you about the EV program really quickly here.
Sure.
For those of you listening, EVs, if you have any questions about EVs, Consumers Energy should be your first phone call. I know that might sound odd, but really, we have a team of experts. We can help navigate the process. It's a concierge level of service that we have here where we will help you figure out what charger you need installed. We'll get you on the right rate, which is really important. It's a very reduced rate for EV drivers, and they charge it in the nighttime. We're going to get you a rebate. We're going to get the charger installed. It really is helping mitigate a pain point that we know customers have when they're trying to figure out how they become their own gas station, essentially. So that the same is true for business customers. So anyways,
Well, I got a question on that. Hang on one second.
Yeah.
So that's a good point, because I think, you know, obviously a lot of people are concerned about if they're going to get an EV or how it's going to transition. But so you think before even someone even thinks of buying an EV, they should give a, so they can know their situation ahead of time? Or are you 100%. Saying?
Oh, you can. I mean, most of the people who call us are those who have already purchased an EV and now they're trying to figure out, you know, what charging station do I get? How do I get this thing installed? We can do all of that. We do all of that. In fact, my husband just got a new EV and I've been driving a hybrid. And I had our team come out. I experienced, like I like to do most of our programs, I want to know what it feels like to be a customer. And I'll tell you, we can go deep and we can go wide in making sure customers really understand what's entailed to get their EV on the road. So think of Consumers Energy when you think about your EV.
You're listening to the Michigan Opportunity, featuring candid conversations with Michigan business leaders on what makes Michigan a leading state to live, work, and play. Listen to more episodes at michiganbusiness.org/podcast.
So you mentioned all these, you know, different programs you're doing. So who are some of your bigger partners and stakeholders and people you work with, you know, that you probably want to highlight? Because I'm sure, as you know, like, anyone who knows any kind of utility and government, there's so many other players involved than just yourself.
Oh, we work with all sorts of partners every single day. But let's talk about economic development in particular.
Okay. Well, those are partners too. Yeah.
We're really proud to partner with the MEDC regularly to win jobs and create investment in Michigan and for Michigan. In fact, our teams together, we call ourselves Team Michigan. And we're really proud that Brian Rich, he's our senior vice president, is a part of the MEDC executive committee, not only so that he can bring awareness to energy issues, but also to learn how stakeholders in all sectors align to achieve a common objective, which is to help grow Michigan. So MEDC is a really great partner. Our foundation also supports local economic development organizations across the state. We've got folks from our organization who sit on various boards, again, to be that voice and face of energy issues, but then to make sure that we're doing all that we can to help ensure that we're landing projects here. And we're constantly focused on deepening our relationship and curating stakeholder engagement. To make sure that Team Michigan is playing offense. We really like to play offense. So, but let me tell you, I've got a handful of projects that I think warrant shining a light on.
Sure.
So, and they're not the, you know, you may not have seen these in the headlines, although you pay attention to headlines, so maybe you have. But the first one I want to highlight is Fairlife. Fairlife, okay. So think of milk, Fairlife milk. Their expansion was directly supported by funding to support wastewater infrastructure expansion. And we worked with them to devise an energy solution alongside their work with the state to ensure that they had no electric concerns. So this drove, because Fairlife is here, we saw an incremental 45 jobs and directly to Fairlife. And we were told 100 jobs and over $98 million worth of investment. So it's a great win. The next project I want to highlight is called Luxwall. This is headquarters in Ypsilanti. Litchfield won one aspect of this project, and Detroit was announced for the other part. And this is a next generation, high performance, energy efficiency vacuum insulating glass manufacturer. How about that?
I don't even know what it all means, but go ahead.
But this created 450 jobs and was $165 million investment in the state. Sativia Life Services, which is in Muskegon, is another great example. This was a reuse of a former Bayer plant after they closed down. It's a life science project that created over 280 jobs in Muskegon, and the investment here was over $300 million. Another one to highlight is the Amazon Fulfillment Center in Gaines Township, which is near Grand Rapids. And this created over 1,500 jobs, which is just outstanding. And then finally, I'll give a gas-only example. Ultium Cells, which is in Delta Township. This is a General Motors JV battery plant. And this created 1,700 jobs and over $2.6 billion of investment. The list goes on. But what I'm trying to convey here is we have a lot of projects in our pipeline, more so than we've seen, honestly, in years, where companies are either expanding or they're bringing new or they're landing here in Michigan and they're creating jobs and they are investing in the state at levels that we haven't seen before. So really, these are Team Michigan, like MEDC, the other stakeholders that we work with. We work hand in hand to ensure that we are playing offense and we are landing companies in Michigan.
And so with all these, obviously those are statewide, and you also have some wind farms too in the state as well, right?
We do have wind farms and we have solar farms too.
Yeah, I don't know how much that's growing, but is that a growing niche
market
for you guys? Good.
Oh yeah, it's growing. You're going to see more and more and more. Our clean energy plan, which ties to this ambition of 2040 net zero, calls for over 8,000 megawatts of solar. So you're going to start to see more and more. We have a lot of demand from our business customers. In fact, the companies that we are working with who are looking at Michigan, they all are requiring that their energy be clean energy. They want to be served by clean energy, which means that they are signing up for our renewables programs that will allow that to be the case, where we are building wind and we are building solar so that we can support these companies who want to be served by clean energy. So,
and those are just regular companies, not necessarily companies that are more like...
No,
yeah,
it's just regular companies. Yes, it really is. Yeah. You know, and the role that consumers plays in particular around economic development, beyond just the sustainability, you know, as I mentioned, every project's looking here has some kind of sustainability goals, and we're here to help figure that out. But they're also looking at reliability. That's a big deal. And we have really ramped up our efforts around reliability. I hope that you saw a couple of weeks ago, we made a very public announcement that we have committed to restoring power in 24 hours or less, and that no more than 100,000 customers are without power. Now, this isn't going to happen tomorrow. We call this a reliability roadmap. So we have a plan. We have an investment plan. It's going to take place over the next, you know, handful of years here. But it's really, we're leaning into infrastructure upgrades, undergrounding, tree trimming. And what is even makes this even more exciting is last week, we received $100 million from the Department of Energy, a grant that's going to help accelerate this effort. So reliability, we can confidently say to those who are looking, like, we got you. and we're going to continue to improve reliability in the years ahead. And then finally, cost. Like, we never, ever, ever want cost to be the reason, electricity or gas costs to be the reason a company's like, I can't do, you know, we can't do that. And so we also are working day in and day out to ensure that we have competitive rates. We have an economic development rate, in fact, that is specifically for new customers. And so, again, we're focused on cost, reliability, and sustainability. Back to this notion of playing offense with the MEDC in Team Michigan.
Well, you actually have answered my next question in little bits, but maybe there might be something you missed. But what other future trends kind of do you see for that energy field beyond what you've already highlighted,
I believe? Yeah, I mean, I think when I think about what's required as we go for Team Michigan to remain successful, it's more inventory. We can't win projects without inventory. And what I mean by that are sites. We 2 years ago, we had one mega site in the state, and we've been marketing it for over 20 years until Blue Oval came. Today, we have three mega sites that are all progressing. And a mega site is 1,000 acres or more. So in order to get more mega sites and sites of just various sizes, the state needs to invest in these sites, and the infrastructure can range from due diligence reports to energy infrastructure to studies to ensure that we're ready to serve. And we work hand in hand with our engineers to create solutions so that from an energy ready standpoint, these sites are ready.
I was going to ask, has also technology like changed for you internally, you know, as an electric or a power producing company, that's actually going to provide some advantages or efficiencies for maybe for you down the line too?
Oh, 100% in all aspects of our business, automation, artificial intelligence, you name it, everything. We have the lens with which we look at all of the work that we do is how technology can be an enabler of that. So absolutely.
And you were going to cut you off. You were going to say another.
Oh, no, I was just going to say the other really important aspect of all of this is workforce. Recruiting, retaining graduates and employees, you know, aligning curriculum with business needs, upskilling, training. These are all things that businesses are looking for and need as they try and figure out where they want to land. And so it's really important that Michigan, that we're continuing to help solve these workforce issues.
Yeah. And I would imagine with you having, I don't know how many counties you're in, but it's a lot, that you also have a lot of communities that are more attractive that maybe historically, you know, people are starting to move to too now, that also affect some of your footprints, I would guess.
Oh yeah, definitely. There's so many great places in Michigan though, isn't there? Like
Well, I know Muskegon's been doing really well lately too. And certain communities are just slowly coming back, or actually, you know, people are moving to different places just all over the state. It's sort of interesting when we see that talent where it wants to go now.
Yeah, definitely.
So the next question, and this is, I'll give you a plug first. When you were 17 years old and you, I don't know, did you get a scholarship? Because you're a varsity golfer at MSU. Were you did you get a scholarship to go, or did they?
I did.
Oh, good.
Not a full ride.
That's all right.
Yeah, but I was grateful to be a part of the team.
And so that helped you at least decide maybe a university. But what advice would you give your 17-year-old self today as to what kind of career would you tell them to go to? Because, you know, it's funny, you had your grandpa helping you. What advice would you give to someone who's thinking about making that decision as a career choice?
Listen to your elders. No, I mean, my grandfather's advice was spot on for me. And I think what I would say to my younger self is it always works out exactly the way that it should. Might not feel that way in the moment, but work hard, stay humble, and take the right, just focus on the right next step. And it always works out.
And your last question could be your easiest. Do you have like a certain like activity or something, like an event you go to, or just like somewhere you like to go hike or something? What do you like best about living? I know you lived on the west side of the state. What do you like best over there?
Well, you know, the other thing I would say, this ties into the last question too, is there's no need to leave Michigan. There's so many great things about this state and so many great opportunities, and you can advance across any kind of different sector. And so what do I love about most, what do I like most about Michigan? So I have four young children, and my husband and I and our kids, we love to go to the lake, Lake Michigan. You know, when I was a kid, we'd go up to Traverse City, and that felt like a far, far, far away from Jackson, which it is. It's like 4 hours. But now in Grand Rapids, it takes us 30 minutes and we can be at the big lake. And it's just such a treasure. We love to spend time at Lake Michigan. We also love to golf. I want my kids to know how to play golf, lifelong sport. And so we love to travel around and do that and spend time up north too. We love to downhill ski as a family. So I think those are just a few of the reasons why I love Michigan so much.
And you as a kid, you went to Traverse City, or did you go to Lakes Bayou by Jackson? Because there's quite a few lakes by you.
There are quite a few. A lot of my friends growing up lived on Clark Lake. But we would spend most of our summers. It was great. The best memories. We would go for 2 weeks every summer to Leland, Michigan. My parents would rent a cottage on Good Harbor Bay, right on the beach there. And, you know, there was no TV. There was no anything. You were there. You were just enjoying the outdoors and being together as a family. And we'd, you know, bounce around to the different towns up there. And I love that area so much. So that's what we do.
Well, thank you for all your great answers. Once again, our guest was Lauren Snyder. She's the Vice President of Customer Experience for Consumers Energy. Lauren, you're a lot of fun. Thanks for doing the show today, and keep up the good work.
Thank you so much.
Next week, we're fortunate to have Ingrid Teague. She's the president of the Michigan Manufacturing Technology Center, also known as Just the Center.
The Michigan Opportunity is brought to you by the Michigan Economic Development Corporation. Join us and make your mark where it matters. Visit michiganbusiness.org/radio to put your plans in motion.